You are listening to Dynamite in the Brain with your hosts Brian Smith and Anthony Askew, with special guest Elliot Page. Tonight's episode, Tennis Robots Tennis.
Your life's gone down the drain, your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame, Dynamite in the Brain.
Thanks for listening. On today's show, we take a trip back to 1973 to sample Aim for the Ace! Exclamation mark. And then our main topic will be two projects that are, in very different ways, its offspring. The first is 1988's Aim for the Top! Exclamation mark, aka Gunbuster. And then we will take a brief look at 2012's TQ and 2013's TQ and 2013 again's TQ.
I like how you said keep it brief.
And joining us tonight from the anime, UK Anime Network, it's Elliot Page.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. Less coughing, but still got a sore mouth from biting it.
Yeah, I have the wonder of a 2-day week, work week this week. So wonderful time, wonderful times to be had.
Yeah, 4-day week, work week. I think I've only got 1 5-day week, work week this month. So that's not too bad.
Stop talking about time off, please, people. For those who don't have it, it's not nice.
You just had a bank holiday.
I have, but it, well, we'll knock it in. It goes over too quick when you watch an episode of TQ.
What do you mean, TQ? It takes 40 minutes to watch a season.
Not even that, no. 72 half minutes to watch the entire series.
The deep analysis I give each most, scene.
It takes longer for Crunchyroll to buffer it when it decides to dick you over than it does to actually watch the thing.
Anyway, on the Crunchyroll's buffering later. But first, it's time for Just Enough to Bluff. Bluffing, not buffing. The regular feature where we take a look at a classic anime television program that we should have seen some of and watch an episode or two of it so we can say, yep, we've seen some of that. Mm-hmm. And this week, it is Aim for the Ace, episode 1 from 1973, directed by Osamu Dezaki. That's two in a row for him. We did Ashton Ojo, and based on the comic, which ran from 1973 to 1980 by Sumika Yamamoto. It had a sequel in 1978, a film in 1979, OAVs in 1988 to 1989, and a TV drama in 2004. So we'll probably do another Aim for the Ace any time now. So was this the first time seeing this for you two?
Yeah, first time seeing it. Like obviously everything, like it's one of these weird things watching it now because everything just like plunders it relentlessly. So it's one of these things of like, I remember this from different shows. Everything's plundered from it. It was certainly bizarre watching. I guess it's your first time watching it as well, Anthony.
Oh yeah. It's not ping pong and it's not wrestling and it's not boxing. So it's off the radar for me. So until now.
So the story is about a schoolgirl, Hiromi Oka. She assures you that she's a schoolgirl in her opening monologue. She's a first year member of this tennis club, and she idolizes Ocho Fujin, the butterfly-like older girl. And at the start of the episode, they're being trained by their seniors. But it's only because a coach has yet to arrive, and he's due to arrive next week. And she runs into the coach at a tennis shop when she's waiting to pick up Ocho Fujin's tennis racket, and he mistakes her for her. And then he goes back to school and discovers that he's running Ocho Fujin through her paces and the rest of the seniors, and then he runs the first year through their paces by basically just firing tennis balls really fast at them and occasionally sort of almost hitting some in the face, making some fall over and hurt themselves. And then she fails to return any of his lobs. And, but she's picked as one of the five top members, which annoys the one who thought she was going to be and everybody else. And then they think she's performed some sort of sexual favor on the coach to get this position.
I love how delicately and sort of very perfectly bitchily they kind of imply that. It's like, oh, I didn't know you knew each other. And it's like, wait, what? What do you mean? I took the piss out of him yesterday and spent a good 5 minutes dumping on the guy in a tennis shop, but I didn't give him a blowjob or anything. Holy shit. So Man, I gotta admit, they cover a lot of bloody ground in that in one episode, like kind of refreshingly so. But the entire thing to me had this like insane breakneck, breathless pace to it that makes it really exhausting to watch. Like even just for the 20 minutes or so it ran, but the entire time I felt like I was kind of catching up and out of breath because it's just constantly going. And like during that whole tennis, like weird tennis fight scene, almost when he's putting him through their paces, it's like in this weird shoujo dimension where dimensions don't actually matter or exist, and it's just pure emotion and pain and tennis balls, which is kind of fascinating, which also helps the fact that all the bloody backgrounds are like tie-dyed monstrosities that you can't really get an angle on.
It's quite stagey.
It is, yeah.
How it's presented, almost like when it, in fact, right at the opening, when you see the school, it's these flowers open up like a curtain.
Yeah, the entire thing is crazily sort of arranged in that way. And like I say, the pacing and just weird breathlessness of it, even in the case where you have Oka's sort of own narration, which, I don't know, I find that a lot more spirited. I mean, it's better than, I don't know, I think I prefer that kind of crazy sort of self-obsessed narration to like every disaffected, don't really give a crap protagonist nowadays you seem to get in every bloody anime.
Or the girl who sounds like a squeaky toy.
Oh, yeah, her crazy friend who just really friggin' wants to eat some udon, damn it. Let's go get some udon. Yes. Every single line. That's all she says.
Yes, part of the genetic makeup of Bako from Kill la Kill.
Oh, yeah.
Similar hairstyle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like her hair, of the bunch of them. She's got a very believable haircut. I'm sure that was all in the range.
She also seemed the most human in the fact that she was not, like, she was also, like, most sort of taken aback by what's going on and not...
really wanted to eat those hamburgers, though.
Yeah. Wouldn't you?
I found it pretty scary as well, because all the background girls and cast, they're like these horrible ghostly, like, yeah, they go silhouettes. Into... Like, what was it? Was it Penguin Drum that we watched? It wasn't quite as...
Yes, it is a bit like that, yeah.
These horrible white eyes and have them as a shadow rather than have them like that. Please.
Yeah, their souls evaporate from their bodies very frequently. I mean, yeah, like I said, the whole thing, yeah, that's another thing that kind of leads to it all being quite exhausting to watch, just due to how breathless the entire thing is.
It's got extreme close-ups of people's faces again, just like Ashton and Joe had.
And then they get sparkles, like flat out. Yes. It's like, okay, we've got a flat panel of this person's face. Sparkles! Let's just put them in.
And the coach looks like Javier Bardem.
Who?
Does he not?
I'll give you that one.
With the haircut and his
I don't know who that is. Sorry.
Guy from No Country for Old Men.
Yeah. Never seen it.
Oh, Elliot. Sorry. Elliot. This isn't a patch on Tomorrow's Joe. This is not a patch.
I think it's a different sort of direction it's going in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll let it go for that one, but it's... I've got to be harsh. I've got to be mean. If I'm going to watch sports stuff, it's going to be, as I say, boxing, ping pong, or wrestling.
I would probably watch more of this. It wasn't so exhausting to watch. Like, I know I'm hammering this home, but oh, it felt like an age. I was watching that thing. It didn't help also that the friggin' subtitles we were watching had a bad case of Nakama, where they just wouldn't translate half the stuff.
Well, it's back in the day, so.
I know, I can appreciate that entirely, but it just drives me nuts when it's like, just call it Inter-High. Just call it an Inter-High tournament. Don't leave it transliterated like that. So it's a 12th character monstrosity on the subs.
How does this end? How does it end? I want to know where it's going. She gets on the team and does what?
I don't know.
She becomes, after a long, long journey, she becomes a world-class tennis player, but only after having to fight her own demons constantly. And I read the Wikipedia, so there you know.
Oh, good. Well,
but yeah, because it originally like ran for like a short run, and it was so popular, they brought it back years later. That's why the run is so long, from 73 to 80.
Well, that's the question, did they bring it back... Was that the manga they brought back, or that you're talking?
The manga,
The manga
initially had quite a short run, and then people just hammered on the publisher's door constantly. So they said, "Okay, come back, come on, here's some money."
So, I was going to say because we've had run three series so far, which all came back in the late 70s with new TV series, and which is why I almost wish we'd done the episode we're doing next before this one, because. It would both explain why all these things were getting new TV series in the late 70s and also fill in some of the other gaps about Gunbuster. But hey, live and learn. We'll get to that next week.
What did you think of it, Brian? I don't think you heard you say much about it.
I'd seen it before. I quite like the staginess. I like everything about it, but not enough to watch any more of it. If you think
okay. No, I get you. I'm with you because, like, yeah,
I admire everything they're doing.
You can see where everything stole from it.
Yes,
like yeah. Flat out.
Yeah, I think I'd watched a few more episodes of this, but yeah, it's fine. It's I mean, obviously super influential, and it's nice to look at it and say, oh yes, this is where everyone gets it from. And talking to people who are getting it from. Gunbuster is basically this, but with giant robots instead of tennis.
Basically, yeah. To its credit and its detriment.
Probably. Podcast over.
Done. Dust your hands off.
So, Gunbuster. Was this the first time seeing this for you, Anthony?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Okay.
Where have I been?
I saw this when it got a release it came out in 94, but I wasn't watching anime at that point, so I must have picked it up in 95, 96. Oh, it says the three volumes were re-released in 96 for $5.99. So that's probably when I bought it. And so that's when I first saw it. It was on the Kaseki Films release.
Wait, they're just, you managed to get it as cheap as £5.99 for two episodes. That's really good.
That was back when people were trying to do that on VHS after the success of Gulliver, you see.
That is really good.
So, 96, you also had Armitage the Third being released pretty cheap per volume, and Giant Robo.
Okay.
It was a price war.
God, that is cheap.
Yeah, and those are, I think, it says here volume 2 was cut. I don't know what for.
Boobs. Possibly.
Yeah, they were all PG.
Oh, definitely had them cut out then.
Well,
maybe not. So PG was a different time then.
It was, yes.
Yeah, it was very different.
There was definitely boobs in the PG Tenchi Muyo releases. So.
Hmm.
How about you, Elliot? When did you first?
So I first watched it like years ago when I got a VHS tape of the first episode only from a boot sale for £1. And yeah, and the problem was the last 5 minutes of the tape was completely garbled, so I had no idea what was going on.
Oh no.
And I watched all of it and didn't get any of the good bits. So I'm just like, what's this weird nonsense about gymnastic robots? And then kind of stopped. And then I got the Onyamis set from the US when that came out on the 3DVD set, which is like kind of, it was one of my sort of like weird peer pressure, like friend in America purchases where someone said, you gotta like that Gunbuster. It's the best thing. I'm like, what? So I ended up importing the set for like £40 or something. It's a very nice set. I don't think you can get it anymore. It's like when Honeyamas was still an ongoing concern. But yeah, that's how I watched it eventually, was on that. So, but yeah, I think that was quite a few years ago, like quite early on in my fandom. I forget when. Sorry.
Okay, so according to the official blurb, which handily is still on animagin.org.uk, Gunbuster is the saga of an Earth invasion by monstrous space creatures. Noriko Takaya is a young girl struggling to be part of the Earth Space Force like her legendary father. Under the guidance of Coach Ota and big sister Kazumi Amano, Noriko must master the skills of mecha combat in order to challenge the alien threat. That sums it up pretty much, at least
pretty much.
For the first volume, which was episode 1-2. So, did you like it, Anthony?
After watching Gurren Lagann last week, I thought, we're not going to do a good... Well, I knew we could do a good episode, but I didn't think I would get something this quick. Something that I'd love so much. I absolutely love this. This ticks all of my boxes. Maybe not in the first episode, because I had a lot of complaints. I was asking why the robots training in kind of fitness. They don't have muscle like a person would. Why are they doing press-ups? That's silly. But as time went on, namely the second episode, I was just completely on board. Everything about it... It all makes sense to me. And, I love it a lot. Shocked, actually. Shocked.
How about you? What are your feelings towards Gunbuster?
Mixed. I don't know. To be fair, this is coming from a position where I spent my first time watching it, and the fact that I know a lot of people who really adore it, and I like it. It's good. Like, I feel like I should like it more, but I kind of just don't. Like, it's got a lot of good stuff in it. It's got a lot of interesting stuff in, but it takes a bloody long time to get to the good bit, quote unquote. And that waiting for it to get good is interminable. And while it has some real good master strokes, like some of it, I just look at and go, nah, like, you're not, no way. Like, this leaves me cold. What are you doing? Knock it off. So that's basically how I sit on it, is like, its highs are high, but like, opinion is going to get me killed here. I like it mostly because it sets up Diebuster, and I much prefer Diebuster. So there's that.
I'm inclined to agree with you, but with the added thing that as I was watching it, I was like, because I watched Blue Blazes, the live action TV show, which kind of tells a fictionalized account of how the people who did Gainax got together, and thus the people who made this. Specifically, in fact, three of the people who wrote this. Since I've seen that, I realised I think that's put me off Gunbuster, because I can now see all the things they're obsessed with in this.
Oh yeah, and I mean, watching Aim for the Ace before, directly before watching this, kind of weirdly poisoned the well as well.
Yeah, it's like having seen an actor playing a naked Hideaki Anno reenacting an Ultraman fight in a bathhouse, and then all the Ultraman influences, all the Idian influences, all the Space Battleship Yamato influences. And yeah, you just feel like, oh, those idiots who I've seen in that live-action TV show made this, and you can tell, even though they're obviously exaggerated for comic effect.
I feel like some of these references and some of those things they're clearly harkening back to and clearly love hobnob it in a really weird way, like where the pacing of the character development and the character actions just are all over the place. Like, characters seem to be okay with each other, and then suddenly they've reset back to acrimony again, and then they're having a falling out again, and stuff just jumps back and forth. And I know they can only show so much, but it seems really bizarre that they have Jung as a weird enemy, and then she's okay with them.
I thought she was acting. When she was suddenly okay, I was like, oh, she's up to something here.
I didn't think she was a deep enough character to do that.
Well, I had hope, but I can, yeah, I'll get that criticism, but.
But it's either one or two things. Either it's inept, or there's loads of stuff they're not telling you that's happening in the background they just don't have time to tell you about. So it's just all these missing links and bits that I'm just like, what?
I guess it's the latter, by the fact you get on the fourth episode the admittance that we don't even know what's going to happen in the next two episodes.
Yeah, I do quite like that. But yeah, also, like, I must admit, like, one of the main linchpins is how people talk about, like, you know, when Smith turns up in episode 3, you know, Torin Smith in the flesh with his Guile haircut. I remember that being quite impactful the first time I watched it, and rewatching it, I'm like, wait, he's on screen for 3 minutes. Like, this guy is of no consequence. Like, who's this chump? And it just feels like they're kind of hitting notes from their playbook of stuff they love and want to emulate. And it, like, especially from watching Aim for the Ace beforehand, like, just, like, say, oh, you just wanted to do this, didn't you? Like, you just totally wanted to ape your favourite thing. So,
yeah, I'm hurting inside hearing this.
And the worst thing is when you've seen Blue Blazes and the version of Toshio Okada in that, and how he explains how his family made money by doing rip-off versions of famous clotheslines, and he basically explains to the other guys in Gainax, it's perfectly fine to rip off things that you've already made money. As long as you just change them enough.
Well, I've not seen Diebuster. I've not seen Blue Blazes.
You have seen Diebuster. We've done a podcast about it.
We haven't. When? We haven't.
If you haven't, go watch it again. It's great.
I watched it, you know. No, that was the episode I missed.
Was that?
Yeah, and because of that, I didn't get around. Because if you remember rightly, I thought it was later on in the month. And you were like, oh, you're ready to record? And I was like, nope, I've not watched it. So you just...
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
see, there we go.
Yeah, you should watch Diebuster.
I will. I loved Gunbuster so much. And I love the draw. It's like watching Battlestar Galactica at times.
Right, here it says,
you're not selling me, dude.
Yeah, there we go. Anthony forgot when we were going to be recording this episode, so he's not on it.
See, there nice. We go. And I called it. I knew it.
Okay, so question to both of you then. What do you think of episode 6, aka the bit where it goes black and white?
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, I must admit, like, my first time watching it, like, years ago, I thought, man, this is a bit cheap and a bit hackneyed. But watching it back again, like, part of it in my brain just fitted. And I thought, okay, there's a time skip, there's a technology gap. Like, they even mention how technology is advanced. And the way they use the black and white, like, really helps accentuate it, especially because they go into the Galactic Core where the base standard everything is white, so that really brings things out. And having all the weird sort of 3D augmented reality, like, display screens on the ships works a lot better in black and white, to my mind, because
it does, yeah.
you just have two tones and things, and transparency works a lot better, and you don't have to see that absurd ship, like the weird combination mall slash like stock trading floor they used for the Excelion. And it's just like, what are you guys doing? This looks insane. Who drew this? It's cool as hell, but when you just think, wait, this is just a mall with a like stock trading floor snapped into it. But yo, the sixth episode, the only problem is my TV is not that big, and so when it's a 4:3 picture that's then letterboxed even further, can't see a ruddy thing. So I had to like sit on the floor like a 10-year-old and stare at the screen really close.
I think that episode looks great. I think, I don't know what it is about black and white, but detail, like there's little details that probably look exactly the same in colour, obviously without the colour difference, but it just looks so detailed. It looks fantastic.
I think it helps it pop a lot more. Yeah. I mean, there is of course the bit where the battle actually gets joined and then it turns into like, whoops, we didn't animate anything. So that still kind of sucks because it's like, ooh, hype bit. Oh, no, this is the bit where they didn't animate it and just show you the storyboards.
Well, I get what you're saying, but at the same time, I didn't mind that too much because of all the action in this, it's interesting action. It's good action. I don't feel like that's what I'm watching it for, which sounds just like not like me at all. I like all the background stuff.
I was about to say, like, I disagree quite a lot, well, in my opinion, because, like, after episode 4, which finally brings out the bloody robot, and it has sweet-ass action, I was like, rad, we're going to get more sweet-ass robot. And then episode 6 happens, and there's no bloody robot, and it's like, oh, goddammit, like, where's my robot?
Oh, don't get me wrong, Gunbuster as a mech is epic.
It's pretty good. Like, a lot of it also works because you see the robot getting put together from the two Buster machines, and you think, okay, this looks kind of dumb, but I'm going to suspend disbelief as hard as I can because it looks rad as nuts.
Well,
it's like
Get a Robo.
Yeah, basically, which is also rad as nuts. Like,
that's more rad because it's three robots.
yeah, I don't know, but no, have you seen? I guess have you guys must have seen Gal Gaigar, right?
Yeah, I've seen a decent chunk of it. Yes.
Oh, I love that robot transformation sequence. So good. It's got a train.
Yeah, if you don't like it, you know, you're probably not going to like the TV show. Cause...
Yeah, there's so much of it. Yeah, but Matt, have you seen Gump? Have you seen?
Many people know me. Like years and years ago, I could not avoid mech shows enough, and then over recent years, the more I watch, I'm like, what was I watching Dragon Ball for? Well, actually, I take that back. That is the silliest statement I will ever say, but I just wish I'd watched more when I was younger or when I was first kind of downloading anime on torrents and whatnot. But I avoided them like the plague. I always associated them with Gundam and politics and rubbish.
Oh, no,
but that's not the case, obviously.
I'll end the tangent here, I promise, but you should watch Gagaga. It has the ultimate way to turn you into a 10-year-old. It's great. sweet-ass robot. Anyway, but no, I must admit, like, watching episode 6, like, was really nice, because after, like, episodes 1 and 2 are interesting, set up on Gunbuster, episode 3 is, like, here's Smith, here's Noriko being kind of lazy, and also character resets as everyone shuffles around again, episode 4 is mostly boring, and then a robot turns up, and everything gets way better, and then you remember why you actually watched the bloody thing, is because there's a sweet-ass robot, and it's pretty rad. And also that you're just waiting for that stupid admiral to get to be punked, because that guy's an idiot, like, clearly doing really dumb stuff all the time. Like not through ignorance, but just kind of being not very attentive.
Is that the old guy with the beard, admiral?
Yeah, not the admiral who died, the current admiral of the Excelion. Okay. You can just see he's like, yeah, it'd be fine. It's like, no, you could get punked. Like, it's quite clear. But no, it's a weird show. I mean, I do like, there's one hint on it, which I really like, which is the whole Forever War, like time dilation stuff, which
yes.
likes to bring up. And I feel like it does it just enough without ramming it home too hard, but it still really works because you have like Noriko's like best friend and you're just waiting for her to like break it off and say, who the hell are you? But it still kind of gets you. Like, it still works to my mind.
It is good. I like the whole when, what's her name? Is it? Oh gosh, I can't remember her bloody name. I bloody love it. I can't, Amano, when she, no, Kazumi, is it Kazumi?
Yeah, as Onesima, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, when you kind of realize that shit, you know, the coach, as she refers to him, that, like, you know, she's not going to see him before he dies, or at least she assumes, because, you know, the time kind of bending and the twist of time, she's not going to get back to Earth before he's dead. And that's like, oh, no, no. And I love that. It reminded me of Interstellar.
This back comparison, dude.
I knew that was going to come up.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing about that scene I will say is that, you know, by the time, because the time dilation, by the time they're already at the point where Amano loses her mind, bit late. Like, he, you've already gone past. You've
committed.
You've left it far too late to actually punk out of this at this point. He's very dead by now. Oh, wait, he's not. But yeah, he has anime illness. So, yeah.
Anything can happen, yeah.
Yeah, I do like what they do with Amano, where, like, they give her weird married life at the end, where, like, between episodes 5 and 6, she goes off and has a career. And then due to time dilation, Noriko's still, like, really young. So it looks really weird.
But it's been 15 years of Earth time.
Yeah. Right. I really think it works as well, because when they get back together again in Noriko's room and she's just like kind of an emotional wreck, it's like, yeah, that's what would happen. Like, people don't understand what's going on with them. Another plug again, but if you want to see something about that, then read The Forever War. It's a really good book about time dilation screwing up your life.
I would love that book. I love anything to do with time, anything to do time travel. I think it's fascinating.
You'd love it. It's it won loads of awards. Anyway, sorry, tangent again. I keep doing that. Oh, dear. But yeah, I feel like I'm talking myself into liking Gunbuster more, like, after the fact, but it just has so much stuff I don't care about. The first three episodes are kind of a drag anyway, so even though the first one's pretty rad because you've got that first robot fight in the schoolyard. So,
what about the outfits? I really like the outfits the girls wear.
They're dumb, but they
exist. I really like them. I think there's something. I mean, I've seen people cosplay that, and I've been like, I don't know what that's from. I don't really know. And then finally seeing this, it makes sense. But I was like, yeah, that's pretty cool.
I don't know. I feel like they drew that and went, okay, we'll just put this in there. Why? I don't know, because he drew it.
They're wrestling outfits.
Oh, okay. That works.
Basically, essentially what they are. Mm. At least the bottom. They're not really swimsuits. They're more like wrestling outfits with a shirt on top. Which makes sense for 88.
Yeah, that's right. Everybody was wearing one, weren't they?
Well, no. Japanese women's wrestling was big in the mid-80s.
I do like how it is it dates itself constantly through set design, like when it shows you the far-flung future of 2036 and everyone's got a VHS player.
Yeah, that is always the problem. Phones, TV sets.
Yeah, it's like the Blade Runner, why doesn't he have a mobile phone problem all over again? But yeah, it's just like, oh, look, it's the future living room. Oh, wait, it looks like a 1980s living room. Never mind. But yeah, I don't know, it still shows it all lovingly.
But to be fair, it is taking bits of old, like, pulp science fiction and earlier to use for its science. Mm. So it's kind of doing the retro thing.
Did you guys watch the science lessons?
Not this time round. I didn't get time to watch.
I didn't, and I definitely wish I did now, especially after we've been discussing the whole time dilation stuff. I definitely wish I did.
I seem to remember it being very much, are you the same super nerd science fiction fan as we are? In which case you'll get all these in-jokes we've squeezed in.
Yeah. And if you don't know about them, you'll see what the hell is going on in our heads, which helps. But yeah, the fourth one's really good because it has the characters do a spiel about, like, the warp they use. And then there's a note from after the actual animated bit from Hideaki Anno written saying, I'm sorry, we put a typo in that. It's actually called this. Well, it's this 30 word long, like, sort of, this is 30 character long thing about what they call warp. And he says, yeah, sorry, we got one wrong. Here's the actual name for it. And it's like, oh, Anno, you tool.
I think the other problem I have is that Nadesco borrows a lot of things from Gunbuster and I think does them better.
Oh, yeah, I'd agree with you entirely. Like, I got a kind of a Nadesco vibe. I haven't seen Nadesco in ages. I should watch that again.
Including, of course, those science things. That's what the thing reminded me. But the other thing about, yeah, people dying suddenly and people returning after time has passed in different rates. I just think Nadesco tries to... This feels like it's doing all that stuff because it loves that stuff, and so therefore it's going to do all that stuff in the same way that stuff was done. Whereas Nadesco is...
develops it.
Yeah, he's trying to undermine it as well.
Yeah, it's a big sloppy wet kiss, not a relationship in this show. Like, it's nothing, there's nothing developmental. It just kind of snogs it. Although I will admit, ship design's kind of rad. Like, all the actual design on stuff, like not only the robot, but the ship design's pretty cool. And that's really nice.
Oh, it's
to
space
see.
Monster designs as well.
Oh, the aliens. Oh, yeah. So great.
The space monsters are terrifying. Like, it's just, yeah, I love it because you look at it and go, what the dickens? And it's just like, check it out. We made a frigging like space mollusk. And like, when you see it, quote, breathing in space, and it's just like gross. I mean, one part of also is the fact that like I really like Knights of Cydonia, and that to me has kind of done the whole like unknowable space monster thing better. But like, this is really, really good. And also they're kind of terrifying because how do you communicate with that? You don't. You nuke the center of the star system. Ta-da! So, yeah, good fun.
But in overall, I felt pretty much the same way as I felt about that first episode of Aim for the Ace, is that I kind of admire what it's doing, but I'm not really down to loving it.
Oh, I'm so pleased I've not seen these other shows. I'm so pleased I've just had this for what it is. And I've really... That scene in the second episode where they go into space and they see the ship that the father was on, and they're like, oh, hell, because of the time dilation stuff, it's only been 3 months since he died. He could still be alive. And it's like, but, yeah, oh, please be alive. Please be alive.
I would admit that's quite good, but I don't know. Like, it's so evident what's going to happen. It's kind of a weird sort of like going through the motions thing.
Oh, I knew it was, yeah.
But it's also the fact that like they spend so long beforehand lampshading that, oh, if anything goes wrong, we'll miss your birthday. And then they get back and everyone's like, hey, how's it going? We're launching the ship. And it's like, don't you guys know what's going on here? Like, this is a bit messed up. So, yeah, I don't know. I like it and I appreciate what it's done. I can truck with it, but I haven't seen the movie version, because there's a cut down like movie length version of this.
No, I haven't. Both. No.
I'm interested to see what that does and how that cuts around with it. That might be more palatable, because there's like episode 3 and 4 are just kind of dead weight to me until the robot shows up. So
yeah, it might improve, cut down a bit.
But yeah, I'm preferred Die Buster. I mean, which I think takes this and uses it in a great way.
And also, Die Buster is essentially thematically a sequel to Fuli as well. So
there is that as well. Yeah. Whenever I mention that, people mention Fuli before Gun Buster, actually, about Die Buster. But yeah, I love me some Die Buster.
See, looking at Die Buster, it looks like something I would probably really enjoy, but for very different reasons to Gun Buster. Gun Buster, although it's got those silly robots doing star jumps in the opening episode, I can look beyond that, and I can see it for this drama. I love the characters.
Yeah, I think Die Buster works better if you've seen Gunbuster.
Oh, it totally does. Like, the entire denouement of that show is dependent on you seeing Gunbuster.
But at the same time, you've got to go not expecting Gunbuster 2. Because while it is Gunbuster 2, it's not Gunbuster 2.
And it's also how they marketed the bloody thing and sold it here in the UK. My set says Gunbuster 2. And I even said to the publishers at the time, like, hey, you're going to release actual Gunbuster to make this make any sense? And they're like, nope.
Oh, I would love Gunbuster on Blu-ray. I would love to see that last episode in Blu-ray glory.
I think it's already out, yeah. I know they've got a Die Buster Blu-ray set. They should have a Gunbuster Blu-ray set, at least in Japan. So get your wallet out.
Yeah, I will flash the cash for that bad boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you could get the Blu-ray of the Gunbuster versus Die Buster in English.
Which I think is now hella out of print.
Yeah.
What do you mean versus? Is that a weird crossover? Or?
It's just both the movie. It's just both the movie versions in one set. But it's crazy out of print. And when it came out, it was a very early Blu-ray release. It was one of the first, I think, actual Blu-ray releases. And it was crazy expensive, because guess what?
The US one's $47 on Amazon. So.
And that's just for two movies?
That's half price, yeah.
But, oh, I guess that's not too bad. Blu-ray, you know.
Gunbuster attracts a premium. The name counts for a lot. So.
Only to people a certain age, though.
Yeah.
Whereas it's unavailable on the UK Amazon, though.
Oh. Yeah. I'm so disappointed at both of your reactions. I thought Elliot's coming on because he loves Gunbuster.
No, he's coming on because he loves TQ.
Hell yeah, son!
I didn't even think this was the main event.
Of course it is.
This is a ploy. Oh,
gosh. Okay, yes, TQ. We're covering seasons 1 to 3. Season 4 is currently airing along with its spin-off.
And season 5's coming out soon. They've announced it already.
Yes. Well, that's because they prayed hard in the last episode of season 3.
Yeah.
That essentially confirmed it's season 8. Okay. Crunchyroll describes it as this. The series follows the hilarious everyday routines of four girls in the Kamido High Tennis Club who, on occasion, actually play some tennis. Everything is pretty much done by Shin Itagaki on the production front, and then you got four characters who recur. Yuri, who's the normal one. Kanai, who's the weird one. Nasuno, who's the rich one. And Marimo, who's the perverted one. So, Anthony, what is your opinion?
Oh, my gosh.
TQ. Oh, we should say each episode is only 2 minutes long.
I don't even know where to begin. There was times, you know, there's times where I would be watching it and nothing would be going in. I wouldn't know what was going on. Like, not that I didn't know what was going on, just my mind was like, no, this isn't for you. Then I'd suddenly tune back in and I'd see one of the characters with a silly long arm or just some weird joke, visual joke. I'm like, that's quite amusing. Then I would turn off again.
Yeah, I think you have to I've described it as having to rewire your brain to watch it.
You have to adjust the input valve on your mind to just let it all come in and process it afterwards. Like, you can't process it as it comes because your brain will burn. Like it's that simple. Just due to the fire hose of like dumb, because it's like, yeah, every like episode is 2 minutes long and it has the same amount of gags as like a full episode in some cases, depending on what show you're talking about. But it's the most sort of joke laden, pun laden, like immediate gag, like no animation at all show that just pumps it straight into your eyeballs. And I don't know, it kind of makes it really fun for me because it's like you can watch episodes like four times over and still find new jokes because you missed them all because you're too busy. Like, because you start laughing and your brain turns off and you can't see anything that's happening on the screen anymore.
And for saying no animation, it doesn't have much animation, but what it does have is good transitions.
Oh yeah, because like in the first, I feel like it's something it learned very quickly, where the first like four or five episodes tries to have more standardized animation with in between frames and characters moving more like an actual anime series, and they realize it doesn't work because it makes it look cheap as nuts. Whereas what they'll do in subsequent episodes is just move things in frame, and the actual picture itself will look nice. They'll move it in frame, they'll flip between two different states, they'll play up the fact they've got not many frames about, but they'll make those frames look nice, and it actually really helps because it provides a nice clear image on the screen of what to pay attention to, what characters are there, and where the gags are happening, rather than like character trying to move an arm and it looks like butt because there's no time to draw anything.
And so, if you just look at like the four character designs in non-stupid pictures, you might be put off watching it, because I was, because I just thought, oh, it's just another bog standard cute girls doing cute things. But it's cute girls barely looking cute doing insane things.
Yeah, like oftentimes like one of them's dead or bleeding, like especially Marimo. Kanai is usually like prancing around, and Nasuno has her tits in frame and also a pile of money. And Yuri is, by her own admission, the one who just sort of reacts to everything and deadpans everything that happens. In fact, I think one episode she gets called on it by the news reporter girl who turns up and goes, "What are you doing?" And she's like, "Oh, I'm just reacting to things and deadpanning them." And that's her line. So, I love TQ. I love it to death. And, you know, it's so funny, just for the amount of pure comedy it throws at you. And I know this is an easy thing to say for many shows, but even when the jokes don't hit so much, you can go, "Huh, I can see what you're going for then." And it's already on to like three more jokes. So it's great fun. I love it.
Favorite episode?
Oh, the one, I have a two-parter favorite, which is where they go to the sports training camp. They have a 4 minute long story arc, guys. They go to a training camp on like the Neko bus, and then they play table tennis instead and have a small tournament about it. And it involves combining. So it should be what you like, Anthony, because it's combining people a la robots.
I may have missed that episode. Oh. I'm deadly serious. I watched it. I probably watched it, but
how can you not remember the inside of the cat bus? And how they say how disgusting it smells. And you can see all the cat bus's organs throbbing.
Yeah.
My favourite is the one where they spend the episode trying to help the chef save his bakery.
Oh god, with the like arm, and all the sound effects are amazing.
That is amusing.
And the punchline is just so spot on, satirical. Yeah.
Yeah, it's such a good line. And also, I mean, it's great because we're talking about this whole, like, arc, and it's a 2-minute frigging episode, and 30 seconds of it is the bloody opening. So in a minute and a half, you've got an amazing show, and just the sound effects, like when they have the pastry, which is a guy's face surrounded by, like, cream, and it just says belch, and that's the sound effect. And it's like, what? What are you doing?
I do have a favourite episode.
Yeah, go ahead.
I've got a note. I have a singular note, which is the one where, from season 2, I believe, where they're playing ping pong, and they have one side of the ping pong table is extremely narrow, so yeah, it's really difficult.
That's the arc I love. And then it has Nasno just reciting the equation for the area of a parallelogram, and it's like, you can't just say that to throw me off, you know? Oh,
I do like how they changed the opening for the national tournament arc.
And it lasts one episode, because yes. they're shit. It's great, I love it. Oh, sorry, I'm getting a bit overexcited.
I like the I think the first and second series had the best intro. At least it was catchy, and at the time I could hum it, so...
Second season intro is perfect, like mm-hmm. mini money or whatever. It's great. I have full admission, like here, I have season 2 on Blu-ray. I bought it when I was in Japan. So that was like 20 quid well spent. But yeah, I love it just because it just throws so much at the wall and all the characters like have their own dumb thing. And even Yuri does her own dumb crap at times because she's the normal one, but kind of can't deal with it. And all the episode titles are movie name with Senpai.
Yeah, the Constantine one is basically the entire plot of that new show Punchline.
Yeah. I love it because it just takes entire like arcs and makes it into one dumb episode of 2 minutes. The only thing that's annoying is when Crunchyroll buffers and it's like, why are you buffering? This is a 10-meg file.
10-meg. Yeah. I nearly fell out with Aaron over this because I forgot a while back, you, Elliot, you were like, oh, you should watch TQ. I forget which episode you're on. I was like, okay. And I thought it was Aaron that said it. So I tweeted to Aaron. Was it you who told me to watch this nonsense? And he said, oh, I've looked at a few stills. That definitely wasn't me. Okay. So, yeah.
He might like it as well if he watched it.
Oh, he wouldn't. I get where you guys are coming from. I know yous well enough to know why you like this. And you should know me well enough to know why I don't like this.
No, that's fair enough. But man, the thing is also that this is an oasis of a show in like the desert of 3-minute comedies that aren't funny at all. Like Chitose Get You. I remember watching that garbage and it's just like, oh, it's a 3-minute comedy. There's no jokes. Like, and Recorder and Rancel, another 3-minute comedy that has no jokes. It has one joke. That's it.
Yeah, it is the only thing close to Akitaro Daiichi. Thing. I mean, I'd put Akitaro Daiichi's shorts above this in that he actually gets animation in them and still has a high joke delivery rate. But this is its own brand of insanity. And yeah. To the fact that it's now got spin-off brands.
It has?
Yeah, Natsuno gets her own show and it takes episode 3 for the rest of the cast to muscle their way in and say hi. I almost picked up like volumes of the original manga when I was in Japan, and like it's really, the art is really different. Like I can't really quantify it or explain it, but it's, you have to basically flick through it like a flick book if you want to match the pace of the anime, which I think helps. So,
well, yeah, I mean, Daiichi's Puyo Puyo looks very different to the Puyo Puyo manga as well, so I think that
Puyo Puyo, that's a good show.
It is another short with high joke density.
Yeah, that does it well as well. Like, credit where credit's due. Out of that short show genre, this is probably all right. But it's no Gag Manga Biori.
No.
Very few things are.
That is true. It's not even that.
Because I didn't find anything, because I know Daiichi talked about Gag Manga Biori and Kuruneko, the one which hasn't been streamed. And what he did was he pre-scored them, so he recorded all the scripts first and then animated, which you don't normally do in anime, but because the jokes are so fast, he figured he'd work from the soundtrack first. I wonder whether they do. They must surely do that for TQ.
They must do.
They can't be animating too.
I feel like they edit the sound, the speech like to death, because you can tell they're kind of tripping. It's kind of very closely clipped and edited together. And I think in some cases, even just slightly sped up so they can fit it all in. And like they are cutting so rapidly between audio tracks that they must record it all, snip it together into a 2-minute chunk and then animate the thing. It's the only way I can think that it wouldn't collapse into a big pile and cause Hanakana's voice to implode, which would sadden all of their insane fans.
Yeah, because the guy does everything. I don't really, not sure I dug much of his other things that he's done. What else has he done? Oh, Bento. That's just kind of okay.
It's all right. I had to review it, and I wanted to like it more than I actually did. The fights are cool, but it's just not enough of them.
Devil May Cry TV.
Oh God.
Ugh, awful.
Dan hates the Power Fae, the series.
Yeah, there's a few things he's done I'd liked, though. He did one of the Gurren Lagann parallel works, Rap is a Man's Soul, Dig the Wax Out of Your Ears, and Listen Close to the Theme of the Mighty Kaminer. And he did the Basquatch as well.
He did an episode of Lupin the Third, the woman called Fujiko Mine.
Oh, which one?
Episode 5.
That's a good one.
You like to
I can't remember which one that is.
I do like it all. It is bloody great, but that's for next time.
Blood-soaked triangle is the episode you did.
Oh, yes, the love triangle, I think. Yeah, with well, I'm not going to talk about that.
A jewel peacock. Okay, if that's everything you want to say about TQ and Gunbuster and Aim for the Ace, it's time to play a game.
Ooh.
Called New Balls, Please. And I'm going to give you a name of an anime, and all you have to do is tell me what ball game features in said anime. I've warned you, some of these are easier than others.
Of course they are. This is a quiz you're doing.
I mean, I was going to set it up so it'd be grossly unfair to Anthony, but I shoved it in the randomizer.
I'd still probably nail it.
Okay, and Elliot.
My balls.
Elliot, first up to for you is Dear Boys.
Oh, God. Can I just thought, can I give a crass answer here that is more biological than sports? I don't know, tennis? No, God. Baseball.
No.
Basketball.
Yes, you've seen that.
Of course I have. It was bloody awful. I think we lasted 2 episodes of that, if I recall.
I think we did, yes. Anthony, Ice Shield 21.
That's American football.
You are correct.
Give him the low balls, Jesus.
Elliot, Inazuma 11.
Football.
You are correct. Anthony, Dando.
Golf?
You are correct.
Oh! I'm happy with that. Oh, the eye slapper.
Elliot, Slam Dunk.
Basketball.
You are correct. Anthony, 1 ounce.
1 out was that?
1 ounce.
Tennis?
No. Elliot, do you know what?
Baseball.
You are correct. You've drawn now. Elliot, and yours is Attack on Tomorrow.
What?
Attack on Tomorrow.
Yeah, I know. I just, what? God. God, I don't know, football again.
Nope. Anthony, Attack on Tomorrow.
Tennis?
No, volleyball.
No.
Anthony, Captain Tsubasa.
Oh, God. Is that a basketball one as well?
Nope. Elliot.
Oh, gosh.
Football.
You are correct.
Damn it.
Elliot. The sports episode of XL Saga.
Oh, I should know that. I love XL Saga. Shit. Oh, God. Bowling.
You are correct. Anthony. Big wind-up.
That's got to be baseball.
You are correct. And Elliot, pro golfer Saru.
Wait, is this a trick? Golf?
You are correct, yes.
Oh, I wish that was a trick.
Anthony, baby steps.
That's tennis.
You are correct. Okay, whistle. Elliot, whistle.
That's tough.
Tennis?
No. Anthony.
What has a whistle? A lot of sports. I'm going to say football.
You are correct.
Yes.
Anthony, Dokkaben.
Baseball.
You are correct.
That was the one we always want to see.
Yes.
We never will.
Elliot, Attack Number 1.
Volleyball?
You are correct. Okay, Anthony. Dodge Danpei.
See, I want to see... Is it dodgeball?
You are correct. Elliot, Prince of Tennis.
Tennis.
You're correct.
For a certain value of tennis.
Anthony, buzzer beater.
Volleyball?
No. Elliot, chance to steal. Buzzer beater.
Basketball?
Yes. Space basketball, to be precise. Ooh. And Elliot, ping pong.
Ping pong / table tennis.
That is correct. Anthony, bats and Terry.
I feel like I've watched that. Or we've discussed it. Is it baseball?
Yeah, we are correct. Yes, we've discussed it. It was another thing we wanted to see.
Okay.
And final one for you, Elliot. Attacker U.
Volleyball again.
You are correct. And Anthony, last one for you. Happy! Exclamation mark.
Oh, man. Oh, gosh. Tennis?
You are correct.
Yes!
Elliot, 11 points. Anthony, 10.
Oh, what?
Yes!
I swore I won that. I could have swore. Oh, my gosh.
Finally, I won one of these bloody games.
I think that was a damn good show for both of us.
Yeah, I must admit, once I figured out that they love the word attack, it's like, aha, yeah. Volleyball ahoy.
So there's three volleyball shows, all with attack. I assume they're all copying attack number one. Because I think that's the famous one.
Was Terry and Bat the thing, like, one guy's a badass?
Yeah.
I said he was a
Bats
badass.
Bats and Terry. I looked Bats it up again, just to make sure it was baseball. There's a video game. And it's a side-on scrolling platform beat-em-up. Where one of them throws tennis baseballs at people and the other one hits people with baseball bats.
Oh my gosh. Gotta track it down. The game, the series, like, just look at those characters.
They do look like badasses. There's no AV, I believe, or a movie. I think it's a movie, because I think it was like a double bill with something we've done.
Yeah.
And we looked.
Sorry.
Yeah, we looked at it and we thought, yeah, we want to see that.
Gotta track it down.
Gotta see that.
One Ounce is pretty fun as well, if you haven't seen that already.
Oh, yeah. That's why I thought you might get that, because we had discussed it after a podcast recently. But
It's in my perpetual, like, watch an episode of it, loved it, but had no time to watch list. So that's perpetually in my sort of, like, I really should go back and watch this
I think I've got the last episode I need to watch. It's worth, for some reason, just breaking it at the last episode and then never getting time to watch 25 minutes of an anime.
It does look pretty good, actually. When was that?
It's really fun. Yeah. It's got a really fun attitude to it.
Yeah. Gamesmanship is, it's not really about gambling or baseball. It's about using the rules of a sport to win in unethical but legal manners.
Yeah, pretty good.
And the main character is a complete badass.
He does look.
Yeah, he looks real sweet. He's a real cool guy.
And it's the same director who did Akagi and Kaji.
Oh, I didn't know that. That makes a lot more sense all of a sudden.
Yeah. The nose doesn't give it away.
Well, it's not the same. It's not.
It's not the same. Same
okay.
But it's the same director. Yeah.
But that's like a Tetris happened in my mind. Like, it just makes perfect sense now. Why didn't I figure that out before? Great.
Okay. Anything you want to plug, Elliot?
I am a member of UK Anime Network. I run their podcast and host it. We have, like twice monthly live streams and also our recorded podcast. I think our most recent one was on the spring season about what we've been watching. We managed to cover just about half the shows that are airing because there's so damn many. But you can find all of that on uk-anime.net. Check it out. It's a good old time.
Anthony.
Just Twitter for me this week. Ant, ask you, ANTESKEW.
My Twitter is awesome _ someone's writing something in the notes and making me laugh. Awesome _engine. And if you're at Kitacon this year, I'm running two events on the Friday night at 7:00. You can find me talking about pigs for an hour. Cartoon pigs. Anime pigs, to be precise. It'll be similar to my penguin thing from Iacon a couple of years ago. I will be trying to get through as many anime pigs in an hour. So if you enjoyed that and you like, or if you didn't see that, but you'd like to see me talk about pigs as fast as I possibly can while playing you occasional clips, come along. And then on the Sunday at 1800 hours, that'll be 6 p.m., Mastravaganza returns to see out the con.
So how quick are you going to do it? Like Gag Manga Biori quick?
Not that
human quick. Quick.
Human quick.
Okay.
Yes. I'm not pre-recording the panel. I'll be doing performing live.
Can we have a side bet amongst the pot? Where can we guess how many pigs you're going to get through in the hour? Can we make like a stake?
I'll get through all of them.
Oh, you think? Okay.
I'm a professional.
Okay.
I got through all those penguins.
I might sneak a stray pig in the list. Watch you flap on stage. Oh, did I forget that one?
It's Kizikon, there won't be a stage.
No, there'll be a, well, yeah. You'll be on the same level as the rest of us.
That's true. I'll bring a box.
What, is this an Ozaki-kun panel?
And as always, you can find this podcast on dynamiteinthebrain.com, on facebook.com/dynamiteinthebrain, on Stitcher, on player.fm, on other aggregating services, and of course on iTunes. So want to subscribe and write us a review so more people can find out about the aces that are Dynamite in the Brain. Goodbye.
Your life's gone down the drain. Your body's wrecked with pain. There's just one thing to blame. Dynamite in the Brain.